Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Head on over to builtbar.com. Use promo code Locked On to save $10 off that first order. Pete, are you ready for the pipe?
What are you doing to me? What are you doing to me?
I can't help myself. It's just, there's so many incredible J.R. Smith moments. Like, J.R. Smith at one point said that he was playing better in Cleveland because their club scene was shit. So he felt like he didn't have as many distractions. So, like, he was going to start playing better in Cleveland. Obviously, everybody thinks of one of the all-time meme moments with Smith shooting on the wrong basket. But yeah, are you excited for the J.R. Smith era in Los Angeles?
Wait, did he shoot on the wrong basket?
Or no, he dribbled in the wrong direction or something.
Right, like he didn't know what the score was, right?
Yeah.
It was a
cavalcade of mess ups in
yes, that. Yeah. He had some moments tied together. We all do. he's a guy I've been advocating for a few months. I just think he's a guy that brings some size. Now, all of this is predicated on, can he still play, right? Like, yeah. He hasn't played in an NBA game in quite a long time. Now, I think there's an argument to be made that everybody being off for 3-4 months puts him less at a disadvantage than it would have been if he was trying to go, you know, full gear, top speed against guys who've been playing, you know, for the better part of, like, it's hard to play at that pace, to get up to that type of speed that quickly. Whereas now everybody's kind of coming from this place of, you know, whatever the heck this is, but not playing basketball, right? For competitive ball in the longest stretch of these guys' lives, really, right? So J.R. Smith probably becomes a little more valuable than he would have been because everybody's starting from a similar point. But it's still a question mark for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if all right, so two things kind of stuck out to me during this process was that A, the Lakers could have gone in Smith's direction earlier this year and opted not to, right? They went with Deion Waiters instead of J.R. Smith. B, when Avery Bradley stepped away or opted out of playing in Orlando, the Lakers still kind of took their time in going in this direction as well, right? And I don't think the market for J.R. Smith was moving so quickly that the Lakers had to move, you know, and immediately sign him when Bradley decided not to play. But you know, that those two kind of factors there make me, I'm not pessimistic, more realistic, right? Because I don't think it's possible to be pessimistic about J.R. Smith. I have no expectations.
You don't expect him or Waiters or anyone else to be in the playoff rotation. I mean, I think they'd have to earn their spot or somebody would have to get hurt, right? But they shouldn't, you know, how can you have that, right? Where these guys have been playing their roles well for the entire year and then guys come in at the end and like, oh yeah, it's just not good for chemistry. It's not likely that either player is in that level of ability at this point, right? That being said, J.R. Smith is a guy that, you know, you talked about the market for him and what it would be. I don't know what that would be, but it's fair to suggest that, you know, being that he has not played in as long as he has, that they aren't burning down his doors, right? It's not unfair to say that. I think it's just simpler than that, though, is he knows how to play with LeBron, right? Like, for any mistakes that he made, right, in that finals game, they also, like, he played with LeBron for several seasons, and he brings a skill set to the table that is very complementary to LeBron. And so, you know, at that point, for a guy who's an end of the bench guy to have a, like, that's a luxury, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's a luxury to have somebody who, at the end of your bench, who you could actually make a viable case that J.R. Smith will help us win a playoff game, like, at some point, right? Yeah, not consistently, but yeah, he could, you know, come in, get hot, hit 3 or 4 threes in a quarter, you know, like that's a luxury to have that guy that deep on your bench.
I think the other factor here, it comes with, you know, you mentioned him having played with LeBron and the skill set that makes that fit pretty natural. But also Like, there was nobody on the market really who has the amount of experience. And it's funny to think this with J.R. Smith, right? But the amount of experience, big game experience, expectations, and the experience that comes with playing on a LeBron James team, all the noise that comes with playing on a LeBron James team, like, J.R. Smith has handled that before. So, you know, while there were other options, and like, one of the options that I was kind of going back and forth on was, now, he wouldn't have been able to play because he was released after the deadline to be able to participate in the playoffs. But Alonzo Trier from New York, if the Lakers were just saying like, hey, can we get a head start on free agency for next year? You know, maybe go in that direction here, but this is somebody who could help. The Lakers' focus is going to be solely on this postseason, right? Seeing as this is the only postseason that we we might definitively be able to say we're having.
Right.
But yeah,
before the end of the world.
Yeah, we'll see if we make it to 2021. but yeah,
just pass the Celtics first. That's all I need before we go collapsing into a ball of flames.
Yeah.
Just pass the Celtics.
Let's take a quick second here, and when we come back, I want to talk about that, because there are some variables about, you know, what it takes to play not just with the Lakers, but on a Lakers team with LeBron. And I think that played a big factor in why they eventually went in this direction.
The Locked On Podcast Network stands against racism and social injustice. That's why we, the hosts, are making personal donations to local and national organizations that are fighting for change. And in the month of June, Locked On is matching the total of all host donations up to an additional $10,000. To make your own donation along with us, please visit lockedonpodcast.com/Black Lives Matter. Today's show is also brought to you in part by Blinkist. Head on over to Blinkist.com/NBA and try it for free for 7 days, and then get 25% off your subscription from there. Blinkist, let's just look at some of the titles that Blinkist has to offer here. Becoming by Michelle Obama, Tiger Woods by Jeff Benedict, Secret Powers of Negotiating by Roger Dawson. You have The Virgin Way, Everything I Know About Leadership by Richard Branson. They have books in psychology, biography and memoir, management and leadership, career and success. They have this other one over here, The Sports Gene, Inside the Science of Extraordinary Athletic Performance by David Epstein, Upheaval, Turning Points for Nations in Crisis by Jared Diamond. All of these books seem pretty useful, right? And Blinkist allows you to read the most important parts of those books summed up for you in 15-minute sound bites so that you can better yourself from a mental and psychological place. And again, the best way to do all this is to go to Blinkist.com/NBA to try it for free for 7 days and get 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And then you'll save 25% moving forward, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA.
All right, so a couple things that we need to, you know, really mention here. So the Lakers, by adding J.R. Smith, this officially means that Avery Bradley is not going to be eligible for the rest of the Lakers' time in Orlando, right? Because Smith is a replacement for Bradley. So for those of you who were holding on hope that, you know, maybe Bradley would get bored of being at home or whatever it was and actually rejoin the Lakers, that is no longer an option. Bradley is still a Laker, though. Like, this doesn't have any impact on Bradley being a Laker beyond the season. So that's all taken care of. But for anybody who thought that, you know, what if Avery Bradley changes his mind? That's not going to happen. That is out the window now.
That's right.
I do want to pick back up, though, on the point of, you know, why I think the biggest factor here, on top of, you know, abilities and talent and all of that stuff, but I really think the number one factor that really drove the Lakers towards Smith here was that they know what they're getting themselves into here. Like, this isn't, I think even earlier when they opted for Dion Waiters over J.R. Smith, they basically said to themselves, like, we actually have a position of need here. we could really use another creative presence in our backcourt.
Yeah, it's more like type of player rather than caliber of player. Yeah.
And then now that they have this opportunity to replace Avery Bradley, I think Smith, and this is kind of crazy to say this, but I really think Smith is probably the safest bet. Like, there might be other players who become available or whatever and might have filled more specific needs, but you don't know how the vast majority of players who are available to play right now, how they're going to respond to big time championship type expectations. Mm-hmm. And Smith can handle that. Like, we've seen, even while he, infamously, right, did what he did in that one game, which, like, by the way, is like one of the all time bummer moments. 'Cause LeBron had maybe the single greatest game I've ever seen a player play. And the Cavs were somehow still in a position to potentially sneak out of there with a win, but then Smith did his thing. But even with all that said, I really feel like Smith is the safest choice that they could have gone with here.
Sorry, just something you said there made me. I've been missing basketball, so I'm the whole, you talking about game one LeBron, like the idea of rooting for that guy playing for my team.
Yeah.
Oh, I need it. Give me Terminator LeBron, please.
Oh man. Yeah. I also like Terminator LeBron, like Terminator Tamperer LeBron. Like
all of it goes together.
Everything. Can you imagine the tampering opportunities this like playing in Orlando is going to present?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, like, you probably shouldn't comment on the record on those opportunities, but I don't have to fear getting fired or failing tampering school. So for me personally, I am really excited about LeBron having at like 24/7 access to any number of superstars out there in Orlando. I can't wait for that.
No comment.
FIF. That's right. The thing that I wind up landing on, and this will be the last thing that I kind of want to mention here. So let's say Avery Bradley is like a 7.5 out of 10 type player, right? And Smith's skill sets are such that like him replacing Avery Bradley, that's not how we should think about it anyway. But with Bradley stepping out and then now with Deion Waiters combined with J.R. Smith, like, is there, obviously the Lakers have made a downgrade, but how big a step back did they take? Because no other team out there has taken this big a step backward among the big three teams, among Milwaukee, among the Clippers, and now the Lakers. Those three teams that I think really have the best chance at winning a championship. Did the Lakers take a big enough step back here to where you're looking at those other teams any differently?
I mean, I had a healthy respect for those teams anyway, right? If I'm thankful for anything, it's that the season was stopped like right after the two best wins of the season. So, I've been able to carry kind of this high about our chances against Milwaukee and the Clippers. Much of which is tied to the capability and presence of Terminator LeBron. I saw some of that in those two games. So I've got a healthy respect for those teams because before that weekend, we were feeling a little bit different about how they had performed against the better teams in the NBA. So in terms of how far of a step back it is without Avery, it's probably going to depend on what team we're facing. Mm-hmm. You talked about the specific skill sets of Bradley in comparison to Smith, but just in terms of what Bradley brought to the table, as is true of most role players, is he's not the man for every series, right? Like in terms of where, like he's going to play, obviously he would have started and maintained his role. But in terms of role players are typically guys that like one series fits their style great, the next series might not. And that's why they come and go, right? Mm-hmm. And so it will depend on, I think we would miss Bradley more against Milwaukee than we would against the Clippers. Although in their last two performances, he played great against the Clippers and struggled mightily in the first half against Milwaukee. But I think over the course of a 7-game series, I think Bradley's ability to against Bledsoe specifically would be really helpful. Whereas with the Clippers, you've got like Patrick Beverley at his, he doesn't have as important of a defensive responsibility.
Yeah, I agree on both those fronts. I think like Bradley is really going to be missed, and in ways that I don't think you and I are really able to define, quite frankly, because some of it, so much of it, I think, comes from like the intangible and chemistry aspects,
attitude,
that,
and yeah,
yeah, like those are the things that, you know, I think the Lakers are really going to miss, and those things are almost impossible to identify from our vantage point, right, from where you and I are sitting. And I think, look, the other thing too, the nice thing here about Smith, less so about Waiters, because, you know, Waiters and LeBron, I think reportedly even clashed, like LeBron was really not impressed with Waiters, when LeBron went back to Cleveland. But with Smith, we know that LeBron trusts this guy, and, that in and of itself makes the chemistry aspect of this a lot more, or a lot less concerning than it could have been with any other player that they had to this.
And I would say with Waiters, I think there's value in LeBron knowing the guy, right? Like,
yeah,
there's some value in saying, hey, I know this is the type of person that this guy is, right? I can work with it, right? If you know the people that you're working with and have been around them before, like, for better or for worse, right? You can, you know what you're working with and what you expect out of them. And that is probably the best argument for familiarity, not only for Smith, but also with Waiters.
Yep. All right, let's take another quick second here. When we come back, we have a couple questions to answer from the mailbag, and I have a giant update that I have to make with Pete here. All right, so let's start. Well, I'll let you choose. Do you want to answer mailbag questions or hear the giant update?
Let's hear the update.
I finished Avatar.
Uh-huh. Can you see why I was irritated with you?
Yes and no, to take a page out of Darius's book.
Okay.
So yes, in the sense that, like, yes, they literally covered that exact ability. Yes. Okay. Uh-huh. But no, from the standpoint of like, it was seen as taboo and then hardly used.
She was the only one who knew how to do it.
Well, but that's kind of what my point was that, like, how was this not a bigger part of waterbending culture? Like if
because nobody, it was like a technology thing, like that same thing with Toph, right? Toph invented metal bending. That's part of one of the storylines of the show, or advancing technologies. So okay. Toph brought earthbending into the next generation with metal bending. And this lady, it was the opposite of that, right? Where it went very dark and she was going to die with it if she didn't pass it on. That's why it was important for her to do that with Katara.
See, I was just like, as Katara was learning it, she was like, oh, I can't do this. This is wrong. This is wrong. I'm like, the other people are committing genocide. So are we really doing the whole, like, oh my God, this is wrong, immoral thing, when like that's the alternative? Like that, I found myself frustrated as that was going on.
I don't think that's how Katara thinks, right? Like, she was judging her own actions, and the idea of manipulating somebody and completely controlling their body was repulsive to her because of that, right? Because she's a good person. I like Katara.
I'm not a good person, is what I'm finding.
Yeah.
All right, let's go into these questions then. So the first question here comes from B_Pax. Anthony and Pete, what's your concern level percentage-wise on a season getting shut down in a couple weeks or canned halfway through this thing in Orlando due to COVID? Great show, great work. Head on over to Rock Auto and Built Bar. There you go.
Ooh, that's a heavy question, because that gets into questions about, like, what is COVID going to be in America coming up soon. I'm concerned. I couldn't put a percentage on it, but I am, it's not something where it's just in the back of my mind. Like, it's a legitimate, like, I'm worried about it.
I don't think you've been paying attention if you aren't nervous about that. right? Like, especially in Florida specifically, where the numbers just keep going up. Mm-hmm. And you know, more importantly, the hospitalizations keep going up, right? Like, for a while there, when cases were going up, people would say, well, it was more testing, it was more this, it was more that. So we're more aware of this issue than we were before. But now, when it's actually hospitalizations, and I think in LA County, they're nervous about having enough beds as hospitalizations go up. So, like, as that's going on, yeah, like, of course I'm nervous about that. Because if the NBA shuts down again at, because of COVID, you know, whether it's an outbreak in an outbreak in the bubble or things get really bad on the outside of it and players feel unsafe, I don't know when it restarts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that, you know, that and that's like, frankly, the best argument for, hey, let's like back up a bit and actually like see this thing play out. That's the best argument for not resuming this thing, right? Is, well, what happens if you start, you have an outbreak, and then what, right? And then even more so to that point, if there's an outbreak in that bubble, are you just going to have people within that bubble reintroduced to society as they go back home? Like, is that something that they do?
I mean, the direction that things are going, they're probably safer in the bubble.
Oh yeah, they absolutely are.
From a percentage standpoint, like, mm-hmm. I would argue that the person outside is already exposed to a great deal of of that, right? So, man,
yeah, I don't like I said, if you've been paying any attention whatsoever and you think that the NBA is going to pull this off with no issue, I just don't know if this is something that you've been really paying full attention to. Let's go one more question here. Maybe two more. This is from Assess the Threat. Hey, Anthony and or Pete, I was just watching old Shaq highlights on YouTube, and I watched one of his interviews with Jimmy Kimmel where he was promoting his new restaurant, Shaquille's, at LA Live. Have either of you had the chance to go there? And if so, what is it like?
I've walked by it many times, but I've never gone and eaten in there. Have you?
No, I didn't really go to LA Live very much because I was from Orange County, even when I
lived right
in
right
in. So
what yeah, kind no, of food I was there. Is
it, do you know,
I was there. I think it was like a steakhouse type, you know, like burgers and steak and mm-hmm. that type of. And I think it was like higher end, right? Like not
you
know, not a Michelin restaurant or anything, right? But you know, you somewhere you'd take a date or something, right? At least that's my, like I said, I have not been there, so maybe I'm misrepresenting it, but maybe that's what it appears to be.
Maybe at some point, like if things ever open up again, we can do a review of Shaq's restaurant.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. As soon as he asked that, I was like, oh damn, I should go in there, like with the Laker connection, all that. So
yeah.
If life ever gets back to normal, I'm putting that on my list. So good looking out.
All right, let's go one more here. Money Mike H writes, what's up, man? So every time you get a new sponsor, you use an experience on the time that user that you use that sponsor's product. What experience would you say? Oh my God. So they're asking.
You stopped that rather abruptly, Anthony. Why don't you keep reading that?
All right, I'll just read it verbatim. This is what I do here on the show. All right. So every time that you get a new sponsor, you talk about the experience you had using that sponsor personally. What if you had a sponsor that was like Viagra, and what experience would you say that would be? And also, a serious question, do you repeat? No. Oh, good. That's not the serious question. That's good to know.
Oh, wow. He spent a lot of time and thought on that.
Also, a serious question, do you repeat? No. If the owners will be traveling along to the bubble, or will they show up later if the team makes it to the finals?
I don't know. I don't think, like, everything I know about it, this is not me speaking in some like official capacity, right? So disclaimer. Everything I know about it, everyone in the NBA is being super careful about this. They are taking the protocols of it very seriously. Now, I go back to, I remain frustrated. Remember like when they first announced where they were going to do it? I'm like, Florida? Right? and this is why, forgive me the I was right like thing, but it just like was driving me mad, right? Like they were the at the time the most permissive in its approach, and like it's no surprise that this is
it's where, crazy that didn't work out for him.
So I'm frustrated about that, right? Yeah. So I don't want to just, you know, blindly pat the NBA on the back for their approach to this. But in the process of restarting, like every bit of interaction or like everybody I've talked to is mentioning like the safety protocols and just how it changes their, you know, their role and how they get to do their work. And so with everything skewing very heavily toward keeping the players safe, keeping the people in the bubble safe. And so from an NBA perspective, they're really looking to minimize the people going in and out. This is just, again, my impression, disclaimer over and all that.
I kind of wonder if this is being asked from the standpoint of like in the, like owners and players, especially seeing as they're the BRI split is basically 50-50, right? Or maybe it's like 51-49, whatever it is.
Right. It's in that range, right?
You know, should owners take up the same amount of risk as players for going out there, right? But in this case, I think that would be kind of overthinking it. You know, I think you want to limit the number of people that are in this bubble no matter what. And then you also look at the age range of owners compared to players.
Sure.
And this is kind of the range of people that you wouldn't want to introduce to this kind of a situation anyway.
It brings up some, like, what is the championship ceremony going to look like? Let's hope we get there, right? In the first place. But this is it, you know.
Like Jeannie's there holding like a fake trophy over Zoom. Like
on a Zoom meeting. Right. Yeah. I was just gonna say everyone's on Zoom.
Yeah. I
missed regular life.
Dude, I have no idea what this is going to look like. I have no earthly idea. You know, there are so many, because what we've been talking about to this point is like, okay, how can you make this as safe as it can possibly be? Practically speaking, how can you actually pull this off? But then the more that you think about kind of the minutia that we identify as parts of watching NBA basketball and the culture of the NBA and all of these things, like I have no idea how a lot of this is going to look. One thing that we're going to see, you know, is that they're going to have Black Lives Matter on the courts, right? So from a perspective of like just how things are going to look, that's really effing cool, you know, and you know, I hope it's just one of many steps, but that is an important one. I don't think you'll mind if I skip the not serious question on this one.
I will not mind. No.
Okay. Although I think Harrison had to do a live read for Hims at one point. But I think that was more for like hair loss product, which he would have more experience than I would in that regard.
She's Anthony.
All right, that's gonna do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. We're going to, so you guys are listening to this, it's going to drop on July 30th. Then we only have maybe a couple days before NBA players start, you know, doing workouts and stuff like that as well, or, you know, workouts to get ready to go out to Orlando. So there are going to be more updates here. We'll find out, you know, how J.R. Smith looks in his first official workouts there at the Lakers facility and all of that. I'm sure we'll get some reports on him making like 45 straight three-pointers or something like that. So so we'll find out some other stuff to talk about that isn't Viagra or hair loss products in tomorrow's show. Till then, be safe out there, make somebody else's day, and we'll talk to you then.